What makes us love those scary stories? The ones that send chills down our spines? The ones that defy explanation and make us think twice about turning off the lights? It's hard to pinpoint exactly why we're such suckers for scares, but this much is certain. In places with a rich history, there are plenty of them around. Such is the case right here in Cabarrus County. I'm Dominique Clark, and on this episode of Did Y'all Hear, we're celebrating the spooky and touring the county with some of our favorite neighborhood storytellers. Our journey starts at the Communications Department Roundtable, where the team shares experiences, or lack thereof, with the unexplained. Joining me is Jarrett, Tiffany, Jalen, Jonathan, and our newest team member, Macy. Macy is a resident of Mount Pleasant, a town that reportedly has more paranormal per capita than any other place in the county. So, if you're listening at home, lock the doors, dim the lights, and grab the sage. We're going on a ghost hunt. Bedford County, North Carolina,
America thrives here. Can't look at it yet.
Don't look at it.
Okay.
I wish I knew we had photos. I have a bunch of...
You have ghost photos?
I do. We did a ghost tour in South Carolina jail, and... I wanted so bad to see like a real ghost or experience something, and nothing happened. But then we look at all our pictures, and there were definitely like orbs and all that stuff.
Do you think that was a setup by the people that produced?
I mean,
it
looks
tour?
Like dust. I'm going to be honest, and it was a dusty
so just
jail.
Shooting dust out there yeah. at the camera.
I mean, I even slipped off from the tour just to get away from the people, so I could see if something would like reach out and touch me or something. I wanted something to happen. Nothing happened.
Reach out and touch me.
Yeah, just like, you know, nails down my spine or something, but didn't happen.
So you are a believer then?
I mean, it's hard to because, you know, we did a Ouija board in my friend's house oh. that was haunted, according to him. Like tapes would go quiet. Like audio cassette tapes for those who don't know what those are. So, you know, we brought the Ouija board to his house and I mean, we think it worked, but it wasn't anything like concrete or like, oh my God, that was definitely it. Me and my college roommate wanted to go stay in a haunted hotel
oh,
in New Orleans.
Mm-hmm.
But we just
New Orleans
were
is
poor.
Perfect for that.
So we never made it to that.
We were poor.
So I'm fascinated by ghost stories, and anybody who's had a ghost encounter, I'm always like, ooh, please tell me more.
So the folks that grew up in Cabarrus County, did you all experience anything ghostly growing up?
No. Like I said, I don't mess with spirits. I believe in them, but like I'm not pulling out a Ouija board. I know better.
So you're the exact opposite.
Yeah, I know better.
Of Jared.
Because I'd be the one to get possessed, and then it's downhill.
I agree.
Like, yeah. It would be just my luck that, like, nobody else gets possessed and it's me with the demon.
I'm local. I grew up in Mount Pleasant. I don't necessarily have my own encounters with ghosts, but there's plenty of ghost stories that are told around Mount Pleasant. So that's just a very historic old place. About 5 minutes down the road from my house, there's a tombstone on Miami Church Road. And the story was that the little girl was, like, brutally murdered. And so now around Halloween, I guess if you go by the tombstone, you can supposedly see blood going down the tombstone.
Or have freaky. You experienced the blood?
I have not. That's something maybe that I can, maybe I'll check it out. I don't know if I'm willing to do that.
So now, did I hear that when it rains, though, that's when you see it? It's like she's shedding ooh, tears, but they're yeah. blood?
Yeah, so that's like the story. But then apparently your car, I guess if you go at night, your car, like weird things can happen to your car. Like it'll stall out.
Does it have a name on it?
I don't, it does have stuff on it. I honestly don't know what the name is. I'd
Bloodstone.
Have to research that.
Probably Bloodstone.
Bloodstone.
Yeah,
the
so
little
I pulled
girl's
it,
name?
I pulled
name?
It up and it says your car will stall out sometimes. Sometimes you'll even see the image of a young girl. She'll try to even get you to take her home.
Oh, no.
We definitely need to go out
field
there.
Trip.
So yeah, midnight field trip ooh. Sounds like.
Who is the we in question? We need to go out to the who's the we?
The entire team.
I'll go.
I need some extra protection.
Need some sage.
You wear a jacket.
A leather jacket will do.
You guys are going to end up on my close friends on Instagram. I was like, look what they got me doing at work now.
Anybody else have any ghost encounters?
So I was in New Orleans, and we were on a ghost tour, and I was already kind of wigged out. We had went to this one cemetery, and our tour guide got really strange like halfway through our tour of this particular cemetery. And there was another group coming in, and he was like, we have to go. And we were all like, okay. And he like was like hurrying us out of the cemetery into our little tour van. We had to walk out backwards so we wouldn't take anything with us. And they saged us after we left the cemetery. Oh, wow. But once we got in the van, he was like, I used to work for that particular tour company and they do seances. Mm-hmm. And he was like, I cannot mess with that anymore. He was like, I cannot be around that. I don't want that energy. I want nothing to do with that. Like, you could tell he was like terrified. And I don't think it was like a bit for the tour. I think he was genuinely like, no, we need to separate ourselves from this group and what they're about to do.
Wow.
So we get in the van, we go to another cemetery, and the energy was weird, but I didn't like pick up on anything necessarily. I mean, you're at a cemetery at night in New Orleans, so like you're gonna feel a little weird probably. Mm-hmm. So I was scrolling through my photos after we got back, and if you will take a look at it. Okay. So do you see the tree in the photo?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. So if you zoom in a little bit, you'll see this like lighter figure that's sitting in the tree, and you can see a face that's like kind of illuminated, and she's got her arm up and her leg down, and she's kind of like looking down over. Do you see this?
Can you describe the picture, kind of what's going on in the picture?
Okay. So you're in an old cemetery. You see some plots, some really small old gravestones. And there's a man that's like kind of walking up to the tree. You see some people on the right side of the photo. And then you see this figure that's like sitting in the tree. And you can see her face and her arm and her leg kind of dangling over, like looking at people. Now I will show you in a different light because she was not there later.
Is the face okay. on the left side
I
of
see
the...
It. You see her? She's like kind of holding on and like looking down over people.
Let's see. Oh my goodness.
What was that?
Right.
I heard that. I don't know what
it
was.
That.
See, y'all been talking about these spirits all this time, and look at them. They coming for us.
It might be the bathroom. We did pick up some bathroom sound
on this God.
Wall.
Some,
all of a sudden feel very weird in this room.
Get the sage.
Next up, North College Street in Mount Pleasant, where we link up with a former ghost tour guide and storyteller who has a long association with the Eastern Cabarrus Historical Society. Tell us your name and who you are.
I'm Vicki Klong. I'm a native of Mount Pleasant and have no intention to leave.
I love
that. Even after death.
Okay. Now, will we see your ghost around here?
Absolutely. I've even got a picture made that you can see what I'll look like.
What does your ghost look like?
White, shrouded with lots of veils, wearing an old white gown and holding lilies.
And where will you be? What will be your favorite place to haunt?
I intend to roam around.
Okay. I love that. Mm-hmm. So tell us about this space that we're in. Where are we right now?
Well, welcome to the Eastern Cabarrus Historical Society. This school was built in 1852 as a school for boys. It was under the auspices of the Lutheran Synod. It operated into 1931, and it has lots of wonderful stories connected to it.
So when did you decide that you wanted to be a ghost storyteller?
Probably about 5 years ago or so, we started making a genuine effort to start collecting these stories. They were stories I had always heard growing up here in Mount Pleasant, but then I set out to try to connect the stories to historical fact and found that most time there was a historical record that backed up these ghost stories.
How significant is this place to the town of Mount Pleasant?
I think it's very significant because the school stood idle and empty after the Depression. And when the Historical Society formed in 1973, it was all local people's efforts that made this a dream come true. It were the local people who came in and cleaned and painted and gathered up artifacts from all over town. So it still has lots of memories and lots of importance here in town.
Is this place haunted?
This place is haunted, but it's only one of many in Mount Pleasant that are haunted.
One such place is right next door to the Historical Society.
But there's so many. One of my favorite actually occurred in the house that was built for the president of the school. This was about 1905, and Dr. Bernheim, who was the head of the school here at that time, was taken ill. His wife sent for Dr. Paul Barrier, who lived right across the street and happened to be a surgeon, to come to his aid. Dr. Barrier arrived in the house and examined Dr. Bernheim and informed his wife. He said, "Well, we're in a dire situation. I think this is his appendix. Instead, he is likely to die with surgery, but he is certain to die without it." So she decided that she would take her chances to save her husband. So they gathered up all the kerosene lamps all around the house, and they brought them into the dining room. And there was a big hanging kerosene lamp over the dining room table. They called for some neighbors to help place him on the dining room table, where they gave him ether and put him under and began the surgery. But unfortunately, he passed away there on the dining room table. Now, of course, all the furnishings of the house belonged to the college here. And so she moved away immediately after that. But the next president who would come in, and subsequent presidents who would come in, reported that you could not put china or silverware on the table without coming back and finding it rearranged.
We were right there and decided to see the house in person. So we took a field trip.
And in the kitchen, there's been a lot of activity here. You still have the remains on this side of the room of the real large fireplace. But the characters would tell you, you could not hang anything on the walls in that kitchen and have it stay. Plates would come off the wall. And they didn't immediately fall. They came out from the wall and then smashed to the floor. They heard lots of things. Upstairs in that little window used to be a loom where one of their house servants probably did all the weaving for the family. And for years, the family and other people said that lived in the house that sometimes you could hear the sound of the shuttles going back and forth.
Oh, somebody's home.
We soon realized we weren't alone. Someone was inside the house.
Oh my goodness.
That will be homeowner Steve Ashby.
I'll say I haven't had any true experiences other than I have lots of orbs in my pictures that I take and, you know, some fascinating stories and things like that. But fortunately, nothing's out to get us that I can find or feel
Steve,
like.
Steve, didn't you say that a young friend of yours came that had one of those EV meters or something?
Yeah, so we were out of town, and a friend of mine was house-sitting, and his daughter is big into, I guess, spirit hunting and all that. And so she brought all of her equipment over. And they said there was definitely activity, you know, and they kind of highlighted some of the locations within the house of where there was activity. But that was about it. You know, we don't know anything more about it. And you know, and we're okay with that, you know, as far as the family's concerned. It's one of those, they can live with us all they want. And as long as we're mutually benefiting each other, then we're okay. You know, it's not going to be the end of the world.
Our next storyteller is a former longtime county commissioner and school board member who's led a few ghost tours of her own.
My name is Carolyn Carpenter. I was a county commissioner for 12 years. I was a school board member for 16 years. I'm a substitute teacher now. I do a lot of community work with a lot of our nonprofits, Salvation Army, the Fair Board, Juvenile Justice Crime Prevention Council. I mean, the list goes on and on.
I love your passion.
about these ghost stories, and you talked about how you initially got involved. What was it about those stories that were so fascinating to you that made you say, I need to get involved in this too?
Well, I think it was the passion that I found from the individuals. I mean, they really, what they told me and what had actually happened to them. And I know these people giving me their stories and the looks in their eyes, they believe it. And I know from when I started doing this, people calling me and they believe what they saw. Yeah. And I know that a lot of this stuff that I wrote down, it cannot be explained. And if nothing else, it makes a good story.
Of particular interest to us, Carolyn's tale of otherworldly occurrences at a Cabarrus County government property.
On February the 15th, 1875, the Cabarrus County Commissioners held their regular meeting, and shortly after the adjournment, the 49-year-old structure was leveled by a fire. On July the 3rd, 1876, at 9:30 a.m., the first court was held in the new building with Judge David Shinkley. Judge Shinkley had helped save many of the records from the old courthouse after the fire. He was a very dedicated judge and is still that way even today by looking after the courthouse and making sure that things are still done correctly. In 1994, some of the remodeling was being done on the building. And early one Saturday morning, the foreman of the job was checking on the progress of the project. He opened up the front door, and as he stepped inside, he saw a man at the back of the building. He was wearing a black robe and had white cloth around his feet. He called to the man and asked him what he was doing in the building. The man did not answer, but he walked down the side of the hall. The foreman ran after him, but when he got to the side of the hall, the man had vanished. That Monday morning, the foreman went to the county finance office and told the clerk that he wanted to be paid immediately for the work that he completed. And he said he would never, ever go back into the old courthouse again. On May the 29th, 2003, the Concord Police Department got a 911 call from the old courthouse. They knew that the county offices were closed due to the holiday weekend and that no one should be in the old courthouse. They got three more 911 calls at that time, and they called the county manager and asked him to meet them at the old courthouse so they could check out the calls. The county manager and the project manager met the policeman there. They all went inside and looked around. No one was there. They rechecked the records and found out the calls were being placed from inside the elevator. The project manager cut off all the power to the elevator and said this should fix the problem. The police went back to the station, and shortly after they got back, they received two more 911 calls. Another one came in on May the 30th. When the workers returned to work on that Tuesday, they were all talking about the 911 calls, and they started checking the wiring they had done before they left that weekend. And after they checked, they found out that some of the wiring had been connected wrong. And if they had not corrected the wiring, that the building would have burnt down. So they fixed it, and they figured that the calls had been coming from that judge because he didn't want his building to burn down again. So the judge was trying to warn them about that wiring. So he was still doing his job that he had been doing all that time.
Believe it or not, It's hard to argue against the importance of the stories, ghostly and otherwise, that shape our history and our lives.
Do you believe in ghosts?
Well, I may be undecided on the ghosts, but I definitely believe in the stories. As a little girl, I enjoyed the stories because they gave me a little thrill of being scared. But as I became an adult and listened and started to collect all these stories, I started to see that they were just a reflection of things that were important to people at the time of the stories. Grief, unresolved anger, loss, despair.
I lost my mother at a young age and had an experience when I was probably about 8 years old, and actually experienced seeing her when I was that young. Now, whether it really happened, don't know, but it was real enough to me. It made me a believer. It was just surreal. I mean, I was there, and I felt the touch. I saw it, and it was something that I will just never forget. Her words were that she loved me and that just to take care of each other, and that was just her words, I suppose, of comfort.
We preserve the past for the future. You know, I think we could have all sorts of things around us, and a lot of the ghost stories die out because we are always so constantly surrounded by noise and activity and distractions. I'm not sure if someone showed up right now, we would actually even realize it because we're doing something else. We're not listening. And I think people have lost that knack. They've lost the ability to reach out and touch the past. And also maybe the ability to reach out and listen for it.
Thanks for joining us on this episode of Did Y'all Hear? A Cabarrus County Podcast. Learn more about the Eastern Cabarrus Historical Society at echsmuseum.org. Happy haunting, y'all.